There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we return to 1947, the early days of Roswell, pointing out what happened and this supposed cover-up. Now, I'm just going to segue a bit to the other opinions, which is maybe what crashed at Roswell was maybe a test aircraft of some kind, which is also why it might have been deflected by secrecy and cover-up.
Made out of something that looks like aluminum foil? I kind of doubt that one, Gene.
That we do know that they were launching flights out of White Sands Missile Range, V-2 flights that had monkeys in them. We can turn to what the Air Force said in their own, let me turn it over here, it's kind of heavy, their own tome. They offered in their tome various alternative answers to what this could have been. And one of their answers was a V-2 rocket, a crashed airplane, nuclear event. It was not, here's right here on page 19 of the introduction. It was not, what the Roswell event was not. And it was not an airplane crash. It was not a missile crash. It was not a nuclear accident. It was not, according to them, an extraterrestrial craft. Then they say what it was, and they go into 20 years of balloon launches. So they pretty well confirmed it's a balloon launch flight 4 from June 4th, 1947. And then they provide a list of June 1947. The log, it says, this is written by their expert who they used to provide their testimony. I'll quote, out to Tularosa Range and fired charges between 00 and 06 this a.m. No balloon flights again on account of clouds. And that was their June 4th Wednesday entry. 2.5 inches before that, they said it was Flight 4 launched on June 4th, 1947. So they're contradictory within their own book.
So which one do you believe?
I don't believe either one of them.
So it's like when you ask somebody, how do I get to a place? He points his finger in opposite directions and he said that away.
Well, it's more like when they ask, the catcher for the New York Yankees.
Yogi Berra.
Yogi Berra. When you come to the fork in the road, take it. So what we've got is we've got a book of fact versus fiction, and they provided the fiction. So it's up to us to find the facts, and that's what we're trying to do. And what we can rely on is there's a lot of good information that they did not fly radar reflectors on those launches. They told us they didn't. They flew radiosondes, which is a transponder, and tracked them by radio as opposed to radar. We find out that there was no Flight 4, so they didn't even launch one that day. We find out that Professor Moore was not there when they launched it, so he couldn't have gone and looked and known what kind of tape there was. But it doesn't matter anyway, because Professor Moore told the Air Force they were using leftover tape from a toy factory that had pinkish-purple abstract flower-like designs. And that's the story most people know. But he told Jesse Marcel Jr. the tape was decorated with flowers and berries in a Christmas motif. It's a little bit different. And then he told NBC TV Special that they were mathematical symbols and Greek letters. So I guess the story depends on who you're talking to, who you want to believe. By the way, we couldn't see any symbols or anything on that as on anything that the people attributed to the Edge tape. But we did find a lot of symbols, interesting symbols at that.
All right, let's talk about the symbols.
Okay. The first symbol we found was looks to be a fishhook, and that was inside of an I-beam. And I showed that to Chris this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see a symbol inside there, Chris?
Yeah, it didn't conform to any of the purported types of symbols that were supposedly found on the tape. A fishhook doesn't conform to any Greek letter or Christmas tree type, Christmas motif, or, you know, possibly an abstract symbol, but it did look rather peculiar. It didn't conform to something that you would expect to see on a balloon. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and I don't know what alien writing looks like. I don't even know if this is. But there are definite symbols. There's one we call the back-to-back J that's very prominent on this debris. There's a symbol that looks like an M, as in Mary. There is a symbol that looks like sort of like an oblate spheroid, as people most of them know that as a football shape. So there's quite a few symbols there. And those are all things that anybody can see. By the way, just for clarity, so you don't have to buy any special software, D-Blur or anything like that, to look at these. All we did was contrast, enlargement by scanning, and then just, as anybody can do, grab the corner of the scanned image and drag it across the screen and make it bigger. Contrast, brightness, that's it. No special software, no razzmatazz, no Photoshop.
No hanky-panky.
No hanky or no panky, and no Photoshop.
I knew them well. I met them at school, grade school.
Yes, and so everything we did, anybody that has the simplest PC can do in the comfort of their own home. It's just disturbing that nobody's really cared to look at them.
Yeah.
So we've got quite a few symbols. And that was, to me, fairly conclusive. There was something in there that was different from what was found. That was the first thing we found, was symbols on an I-beam. The very first day we looked, we got the photographs. We opened up the package from the University of Texas Arlington. And that was the very first thing we saw, was that fishhook that I showed Chris.
So there.
Yeah, let's look at the focus here, though, of these photos.
Okay, one of them was kind of, we could only really, really get sharp focus on one of the photos. One of the photos, just depth of focus was pretty well shot, unusable for any detailed analysis. Some of them, the area of sharp focus was very small. There's only one photograph of all seven that was found that was needle sharp all the way through. And then the Bettman photo was pretty good. And it could be because Bond, when he took the photos, he was on a timeline crush. Now, most people now don't realize the chaos that was going on back in the 1940s. Daylight savings time was not uniform. And we live in Arizona, and if you've ever gone from state property to the res, you'll understand some of the confusion, because the Navajo res, for example, they always follow the federal law and they go on daylight savings time, even though they're in the middle of the state of Arizona. Arizona does not use daylight savings time. In 1947, there was a patchwork of time zones. There was a patchwork of towns in the same county that some did and some did not go on daylight savings time. So part of the criticality of figuring all this out was to determine what was going on when. And one of the ways we did that was with the AP. They used universal time, or local time, from the AP office. And so we did that and found out that we could pretty well tell when these photos were sent out. And we found out the Bettman photograph was sent out to New York, and it didn't make it in time to make the evening edition of the paper. So it was never published.
On this weekend's episode of After the Paracast, Chris and I will be talking to Curtis Collins. Kurt is part of the Roswell Slides study group. So he'll tell you about that. And we'll go into Slidegate in more detail and see what all this means to the UFO field. And as far as I'm concerned, it ain't pretty. let's go into more of this detail about these photos and the sourcing and where they went and everything. With Ron Regaire joining Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast. You've heard them on Alex Jones. You've seen them on Ancient Aliens. Now come see them live at Contact in the Desert 2015 in Joshua Tree this May. Experience 4 full days of science-centered lectures, workshops, intensives, and fieldwork on ancient astronauts, extraterrestrial intelligence, human origins, crop circles, contact experiences, UFO sightings, and more. Meet Chariots of the Gods author Eric von Daniken, Ancient Aliens host Giorgio A. Tsokalos, New York Times bestselling author David Wilcock, Dead Doctors Don't Lie author Dr. Joel Wallach, astronauts Edgar Mitchell and Story Musgrave, Earth Files publisher Linda Moulton Howe, author Jim Mars, and many of the world's most respected researchers and scientists exploring answers to one of the greatest questions of all time. More speakers, more panels, more things to do. Join us at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center, which has a long history of sightings and contact experiences. For advanced tickets and conference schedule, go to contactinthedesert.com. That is contactinthedesert.com.
Hi, John Huebner from Midas Resources. Are you tired of watching your hard-earned assets dwindle away? As government spending is out of hand and the Federal Reserve is creating in excess of $20 billion a week, are you tired of stockbrokers gambling away your hard-earned money? Is this market a setup for a crash greater than 1987? Too many of today's policies resemble those that led to the collapse of 1929.
This is John Huebner, and that was me in 2007. And we all know what happened when the subprime credit bubble burst. By March 2009, the dollar lost 50% of its value. The entire U.S. banking system was on the verge of collapsing. Like all financial problems of the past, is history about to repeat itself? Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129, before it's too late to protect yourself. Will the oncoming catastrophe take all private IRAs, 401ks with it? There is a way to protect your hard-earned assets. Call me, John Huebner, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 129.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs knows the importance of proper digestion.
Make sure you take a look at the ultimate enzyme product. They're made with bile salts and fat digestion enzymes and protein digestive enzymes. And not only do the ultimate enzymes give you obvious benefits for digestion, but they can also help keep your blood flowing through your circulatory system. As most of you probably know by now, thick, sludgy, clotting blood is a serious risk factor for heart disease and stroke. Clearly, inappropriate and excessive blood clotting is a major health issue, and thick, sludgy blood is not just about heart health either. Sludgy blood can compromise oxygenation and nutrient delivery to all your cells and tissues and organs, and ultimately lead to almost any health issue you can name.
Concerned about proper digestion and heart health? Order Ultimate Enzymes by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsidemen.com. That's brightsidemen.com. Order today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Ron Regaire is joining us. Is this going to be another Dan Roswell book? Is that the final title of the book he's working on?
Sure that won't be the final title.
Hoping it won't.
Yeah, I figure as author, I ought to have some say-so in what the title of my book is. So there was this patchwork of time zones And the Bettman photograph was an interesting one because it was sent out to be published and never made it in the evening edition of the paper. And before the morning edition of the paper went to bed, the Roswell saucer had been emptied by General Ramey. He had convinced the world it was nothing more than a weather gadget. The story sat there for 50 years or 40 years.
Since we're on the subject of that lost photo in the Beckman Archives in New York, there is something interesting about that photo that does not conform with the other photos that I think we should address. Because when you told me this and you showed me this particular aberration, I was really dumbstruck. I mean, I was really taken aback. So why don't you go in with a little bit of detail on what you found on this this little-known missing photo.
I will. Let me finish up. So Bettman photograph was sent out, but it never was printed until 1997. And it was printed in one of these nice coffee table issues books about famous UFOs. And it was because the author happened to live in New York, and he went to the Bettman Archives and rumbled through there until he found this picture. And there was the first time it surfaced, but this was after we started all of our analysis with the Bond photos. So we looked at it, and it was a nice, sharp photo, really good. And it has something that Chris was talking about that's somewhat bizarre. There's pieces of metal in there that appear to be anywhere from a quarter to three-eighths of an inch thick. Quite a bit of it. Nothing like that on any balloon and radar reflector. Interestingly enough, those same image taken within moments didn't have that. It was all whited out. Somebody somewhere got to the images that were University of Texas Arlington and made them appear so that they wouldn't show this thickness of metal, except in one photograph they missed it, and you can actually see the thickness of the metal. So here we have a photograph that's supposedly of a thin aluminum foil with paper backing, made like a kite, but instead of that it's constructed of hollow struts and of metal that's a quarter inch to three-eighths of an inch thick. Go figure.
I'm trying to figure out here as I listen to you describing this metallic thingy what it is and whether there's any reason to think it's something from out there.
First of all, we had the group, I think it was the Wilmots. I'm not sure on that because I'm not a Roswell researcher. I'm really not. So, you know, you're better off asking other people that. But there was a couple who saw something go across the sky during an electrical storm, and it was the electrical storm and all the thunder and lightning that some repute to have caused this thing to crash. And then the thunder and lightning storm the next day was where the debris was found. Now, we have made a connection, and I would prefer not to say why we believe it's part of an extraterrestrial craft right now. That's one of the biggies in our book, and we want to keep that one kind of under close. I'll tell Chris offline next commercial break.
That really helps me. You know, but the point is here, I think our listeners are going to wonder here.
Yeah, of course they are.
Why would they just take this photograph, all these little tiny fine details that may really go over their heads if they're not looking at the photos themselves, and make a connection that this is not something conventional? You don't have to say where it's from because we probably don't know. But I'm not seeing unconventional yet. Please fill me in.
Well, there's really, I guess, since we don't have any physical objects, we can't do tests to determine if the metal has the right isotropic properties. Can't do that. We're in the same position of Don and Tom trying to say, well, what was the DNA analysis on the mummy? Well, we don't have one, so we can't do that.
I think more so in one respect is that the sourcing of those slides is difficult to put together because it's just made on assumptions, whereas here we have something where we know where it was taken, we know when it was taken. So we have more information about it, at least.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the data from the pictures themselves – is restricted what's on the pictures. Now, we can rely on witnesses who no longer are alive that at the time said it was a crash flying disc, but a flying saucer, one of whom was Colonel Butch Blanchard, a commander of the base. If we accept the testimony of Walter Haught, the gentleman who wrote the press release, he said it was he thought it was a dislike pod with a dislike craft with a pod on top and dead little people. So if we want to take these things, but I'm not getting into that. That's not my forte. My job was to look at the pictures and tell you what to find. So we can speculate all we want. I'm saying, okay, let's assume these guys are reasonably intelligent in telling us the truth. What have we got in these pictures that will confirm? Well, the Air Force said it was a flying saucer. Okay. Then they said it wasn't. And every single thing they said it was, with the exception of a crash flying disc, we can prove them wrong with their own documents. So that leaves the only other thing that it could have been what they said it was the first time, and that's a crash flying disc. So, you know, I would say using some simple logic, we can conclude that either everybody lied all the way through and they're dead so we can't cross-examine them, or let's work on the assumption that the story as it was told originally, which generally the original story is better, is factual, and that the Air Force did. They were proud of it, by the way. The headline says they captured it. I mean, it wasn't like they found it. They captured the darn thing. They were bragging, because at that period in time, there were UFOs flying all over the place. If you check newspaper reports, 2 weeks before was the famous event up in Washington where Kenneth Arnold saw his UFO. So, I mean, it was sort of bragging rights. We got one before anybody else, nanner, nanner. So I think they bit off a big one there and kind of had to back off when they found out that there were bodies present. That's just a hunch. But there's, like I say, we're looking at the photographs and what they tell us. And what they tell us is what the Air Force said it was, it isn't.
And it would be nice to see how we can put together what it really is and go through all the possibilities. Again, we're talking to Ron Regehr. Man, he's not a neophyte. He's been following this stuff around for quite a few years, trying to put together these photos, see what they show, since they do not evidently show. We were looking at balloons like the Air Force had claimed after the original story. So much for that. We'll get to more of it in a moment. A few questions from our listeners also from forum.theparacast.com. We have Ron Regehr with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283 or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Hi, this is James Fox from Chasing UFOs. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I think Chris wants to say the Parrot Cast. He's going to change his name to Polly.
So.
Any case, Ron Ruggiero is here. He's writing a book about Roswell. Is it going to be all or mostly about these photos and what they mean? What else are you going to cover?
Okay, yeah. There's some people that say that was all the debris. Where was General Ramey when Bond first got there? When did he take the photographs? He didn't have time to do this and that and the other. So one of the things that we did was determine what time the photographs were taken. That was kind of a neat little thing because if you look through the window of the General Ramey photograph, you can see a bumper guard around a license plate frame. And that bumper guard is unique to a 1941 Buick staff car, Series 60. And so when we looked at that, we found out that, gee whiz, we have a shadow. We can see the shadow that this thing casts. So knowing where we were and getting the angle of that shadow, we can determine the time. And we determine the time within plus or minus about 10 minutes as 3:15 in the afternoon, local time, Fort Worth. So I thought it was pretty compelling. We found out when they were taken. The other thing is that we found out that there were more than one photographer. James Bond Johnson initially did not have any recollection of seeing Major Marcel. But since the negatives all were there in the University of Texas Arlington archives with Major Marcel, he thought, well, I probably took them. And the more he talked with different Roswell researchers who fed him information about this and that and the other, he determined I must have taken them. So we sort of looked at that. But when you look at the pictures of Marcel and then look at the pictures of Major DuBose with General Ramey, they just seem odd. And Chris has taken a lot of pictures. I'm sure if he'll sit down, he can see the same thing. There's just something that doesn't feel right. So we looked at those and looked at those. Then they appear to have been taken with different focal length lenses. And so, sure enough, we measured the angle of the stripes on the carpet, which is a standard. It's in every photograph. And we found out that not only that, there were two different focal length lenses used to take the photographs.
Yeah, but they were really close.
No, not really. They're quite a bit off. So we did a regressive analysis on that, and we found out that they're not too close after all. I'm trying to remember what the exact focal length was, and I don't remember right now. The other thing is, in the photos with Marcel, there is no picture that includes James Bond's hat, but his hat is prominent in the pictures with General Ramey. Why? Because he went in there and dropped his hat on the chair before he took his picture. So, you know, we're trying to get all these little loose ends tied up. How many photographers, because they said there was a big press scrum and nobody was allowed close to the debris. Well, simply not true. We know that that's not true. And what it appears, based upon just the evidence of the photos, there were at least three different photo shoots. One photo shoot where Bond came in, took the pictures of General Ramey and General Ramey with Colonel DuBose. And then after that, he went and left. And then when he got back to his... I'm showing Chris some stuff here on the screen. And when we got back to his office, he made his prints and went. Somebody else then came in and got there. They got the AP wire photo and showed up at the office. Where's the crashed UFO? And Ramey then called his press conference and announced to the world, it's not only not a UFO, it's a weather gadget. And here's my warrant officer, Irving Newton, that can prove it. And Irving Newton sat out there and they took his picture. We don't know who took his picture, but that's the only picture we've got of Irv Newton. Then they probably said, well, gee whiz, who's the yahoo that said it was a crash-flying saucer? And he brought out Major Marcel and sat him down with this debris. And Marcel has an embarrassed look on his face. If you look in the photos, he looks sort of like, I don't want to be here at all. And his shoes are all grunny, the cuffs of his pants have got weeds in them. It's doesn't look like a guy that's going to run to his general's headquarters and see it. So we've got no press scrum until after Bond has left, gone back, and started publishing his pictures.
But I kind of think here, too, that all this fine detail, does it really help us figure out what's in that photo, what was going on, what they were trying to do, except, of course, for the decision after that press release came out that a flying disc had been captured to shut the whole thing down. How could they do such a stupid thing?
Well, what it does is it provides, an academic historical narrative on what happened. And so that's one of the reasons we're going into this detail. You know, there should be, after we publish, after we show our results, there should be no speculation. Was there or was there not a press scrum? No, there wasn't. Bond took his pictures and left. We know which ones he took. The rest of the pictures, we don't know, but, so we're, you know, part of history is to determine what happened. And, I guess the philosophers talk about why it happened. And,
right. Now, so, do we have any assumptions made at all here that these are all the photos, or are there many others with more incriminating stuff?
There's never been any other photos surfacing other than these seven.
The seven deadly sins of Roswell.
I'm sorry?
The seven deadly sins of Roswell.
Yeah, seven images. All two right. of Ramey and DuBose, two of Ramey alone, two of Marcel, and one of Newton. And that's it.
Well, there you go.
And reason tells us if there was something taken, if there really was something, as the FBI says, they don't buy the weather balloon story, and I've got the teletype for that. Then if they don't buy it, then Major General McMullen ordered him to courier it to his headquarters in D.C., which they did. We have that on record. Then there's probably took pictures of it when it got there, even if nothing else to say, you dummies, you didn't even know you got a weather balloon. So, yeah, there's probably other pictures, but they just haven't surfaced. Just to follow up on how many photographers and things, if we look at Bond used a 4x5 Speedgraphic camera. Speedgraphic camera uses film holders, and it's cut film. It fits inside the film holder, and it has a little protector in front of it so that you can grab these film holders of about 4 1/4 by 5 1/4 inches and stuff them in your pocket, and then you pop them into the camera, pull out the protector, and that exposes the film. Take your picture, put the protector back in, pull the assembly out, flip it over, repeat the process. You've got two pictures there from that one film holder in the film. Then you want to take two more, you slide it in. And most of the guys got in the habit of taking two pictures pretty close together, sliding the film in, taking two more fairly close together. That was just the way they do it. So if we look at this, we found out the film holders for the Major Marcel pictures are significantly different than the film holders from the images where he took of General Ramey and General Ramey and Colonel Dubose. That's not conclusive because the Star Telegram, which was the largest newspaper in the South, not South Texas, the largest newspaper in all of the southern states at that time, probably had a pool of these where somebody could go in and grab a handful and go out on assignment.
So, let's do our break here. We got more to come with Ron Regaire and Gene and Chris. You're in.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking Extendovite. It's been approved to help my heart.
Extendivite, is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. Extendivite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about Extendivite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking Extendivite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You've heard them on Alex Jones. You've seen them on Ancient Aliens. Now come see them live at Contact in the Desert 2015 in Joshua Tree this May. Experience four full days of science-centered lectures, workshops, intensives, and fieldwork on ancient astronauts, extraterrestrial intelligence, human origins, crop circles, contact experiences, UFO sightings, and more. Meet Chariots of the Gods author Eric von Daniken, Ancient Aliens host Giorgio A. Tsokalos, New York Times bestselling author David Wilcock, Dead Doctors Don't Lie author Dr. Joel Wallach, astronauts Edgar Mitchell and Story Musgrave, Earth Files publisher Linda Moulton Howe, author Jim Mars, and many of the world's most respected researchers and scientists exploring answers to one of the greatest questions of all time. More speakers, more panels, more things to do. Join us at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center, which has a long history of sightings and contact experiences. For advanced tickets and conference schedule, go to contactinthedesert.com. That is contactinthedesert.com.
Don't go
complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We're dissecting these photos when they were taken, the people in them, what they mean, with Ron Regier and Gene and Chris. Continue, Ron.
Okay. So the film holders, again, they're indicative of, but not conclusive, that there were two separate photographers for the Marcel and for the Remy DeBow photographs. To me, the compelling and conclusive evidence is the regressive analysis we did on the images to show the carpet, that different focal length lenses and quite a bit of difference.
Yep.
So, yeah, that puts that story, that part of the Roswell myth, so to speak, to bed. There was no press scrum. There weren't a whole bunch of people there clamoring. Just as Bond said, he went into the room. Colonel LeBeau said that Raimi was down at the flight line looking at the debris. And there was some of it here, and it was in brown wrapping paper, and they unwrapped it and spread it on the floor and made it look pretty so he could take a picture of it. What was Raimi looking at? Well, if we listen to what the ranch hand said, Mac Brazell, he found a piece and got his tractor and towed it into an equipment shed. Then we have two people who loaded the debris onto the B-29 that flew it to headquarters. And one of them said it was there were four armed MPs guarding the crate. And the crate was approximately 4 foot high, 5 foot wide, and 12 foot long. That doesn't sound like a radar reflector or a little balloon.
It doesn't sound like a flying saucer unless it's a very small flying saucer.
Well, it apparently crashed. I don't think it landed and people got out and took pictures. I think it probably crashed. And then the other one said that it was crate was 12 foot by 6 foot by 6 foot. Now, these are signed affidavits by two of the crew members that flew the trash or the debris or the crashed UFO or whatever it was from Roswell to Fort Worth. And then one other witness handed several packages through the window. The whole flight, they flew below 10,000 feet. From Roswell.
How do we know these additional details about the flight?
From affidavits of people who were there.
Okay.
I accept their affidavits. Yeah, that's all we're working with, the affidavits and photographs.
And why would they have four MPs, armed MPs, guarding debris from a crashed weather balloon? That's a little fishy right there.
Yeah, so I mean, we're just looking at this and saying there's a lot of things that don't add up. Since they don't add up, let's see what we can find out. And that's what we're doing. And do I think it's a UFO? I have no idea. I've never seen a crashed UFO. But I do know what's in the images, and it's a bunch of weird stuff. And it came from Roswell, and it was the people who were there at the time initially said it was a UFO. And I'm not going to argue with them. First of all, they're dead. But second of all, I have nothing that tells me that it wasn't, except the Air Force's book, which we know is full of lies.
How you like them apples?
Well, I would certainly hope we are able to get more information about this. What about the infamous Ramey memo?
Okay, now the Ramey memo, according to the Air Force now, again, this is their study. And by the way, they prepared this. Remember Stephen Schiff? He was the, I think he was state senator, but
congressman
from New Mexico. And he wanted to get to the bottom of the Roswell incident, so he ordered the GAO to investigate it. And this study was the result of Stephen Schiff's demanding answers for the crash at Roswell.
And this report is like 4 inches thick. It must weigh about 4 or 5 pounds. It's huge.
And it's not paginated.
Oh, that's exciting. Why do they do that?
They do it because they want to make sure that we don't know what's going on. It's a deliberate thing. It could have very, you know, anybody that's a word processor can insert page numbers, and that's the answer.
Right, but we're talking about stuff here that dates back to a time when there were no word processors.
No, this is the Air Force report I'm speaking of.
When was that done?
Prepared in 1994.
So they use an early version of Word.
1995.
Okay, they use an early version of Word.
Yeah. So we look at the Air Force report, and they said that they sent this to a high-ranking intelligence agency. Now, that probably wasn't the local library. National Photographic Interpretation Center, maybe. I don't know, but because they didn't name the agency. They just said a high-level government agency, and they could not make out any words in the Ramey memo.
So it's like the Roswell slides in the placard.
However, I showed a copy to Chris, and he could really, really quickly read Fort Worth, Texas on it. That's something. Now, I've got photographs of this. The image, by the way, on a 16x20 print, the image of the memo is smaller than a postage stamp. It's about an inch wide by 3/8 of an inch tall. And that's the image that we're looking at. And when you look at that, that's on a 16x20 print, and it's fairly dark. So when you enlarge that and then change the brightness and the contrast, you get these kind of blobby things, and it's right at the limits of resolution, and I would say some of it's beyond the limits of resolution. It's a more grotty image than the one that you don't want to talk about. And so if we look at that, we can see, though, that there are words that we can make out. And three of them that come immediately, everybody in the audience of about 150 when I first showed this, could read Fort Worth, Tex, T-E-X. Everybody. And I said, anybody that can't read this, put your hand up. I'd like to, everybody could read it. Now, granted, they were an audience of UFO folks, but I didn't tell them anything at all about what it was even. I just said, I've got an image I want to show you. I want you to tell me if you can read anything. They all read that.
Let's get past the nuts and bolts here and get into the memo itself. What do we know about it? What do we know about the contents?
What I believe it says, I think it's telling us that the next thing we found was victims of the wreck. And that's the next part we found. And that one was it's a little bit sketchy, but it's there. And independent. What I did was I had a team of four different people looking at this, all of us looking at it independently. And when we looked at it independently, we came up sometimes with the same exact words. And then I got those same exact words that we came up with, and some of us didn't see anything where other people found a word. So I'm going to get you, I'm scrolling through trying to find my read of this thing. And but anyway, we've got a pretty good read of it. Dave Rudiak probably has the best read.
Oh, by the way, Dr. Rudiak does not agree with you on the Roswell slides. He's satisfied.
Okay.
The placard is what it is about a mummy. But let's just go past
that. It doesn't bother me a bit. Now, there were, first of all, I want you, your audience to know that there were five different scans that were made, five different techniques. Stan Friedman, Neil Morris, a number crunch scan, and Paul David Carey and Schmidt scan. So we've got different scans. We compare those, and you can see they're just right at the limit where you can see the actual grain. So to enlarge them further than we did is counterproductive. It just doesn't make any sense. So the other thing is there's a word called apophenia, which is where you see clouds in the sky. That's where you make connection out of random data, and we're not doing that. So we can read, what we can read is it's addressed to Vandenberg, and there's eight lines of text that we can read. Now, Dave Rudiak has more than that. I'm not going to, you know, let him talk about what he found. I'll tell you what we found. The message addressed to Vandenberg, first line, lot of nothing we can read. Near operation at the, second line, ranch, and the victims of the wreck you forwarded to the blank team at Fort Worth, Texas. Blank SS in the disc, they will ship for A1 8th Army Air Force by B-29 or C-47. Wright Air Force assist flights at Roswell. Assure the CIC team said this mistaken meaning of story and think. Again, we're looking at the last part of the line.
Let's continue with what that memo apparently says. On this week's episode of After the Paracast, we'll be featuring Kurt Collins, who will join us to talk about Slidegate, or the Roswell Slides disaster, or whatever you'd like to call it. To find out more, go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. With Ron Reger and Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? A government program for tax debt forgiveness. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative.
I'm Paul Sibley with U.S. Tax Shield. We can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now for your free consultation and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-436-6451. That's 800-436-6451.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.